Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome to all my people around the world that are here listening. We have a wonderful guest, but first I'd like to announce we're our chat reel, Caribbean Radio, the Knowledge Station. So we're going to have a great show tonight. We've got a guest that's been in the music business for quite some time. We actually have been, we're like brothers, actually. Well, I grew up with his brother, and he's kind of like my brother, you know what I'm saying? So he's very, very talented, and he's got a lot of stuff that he's done. And I think you're going to really enjoy this because I know for a fact the stuff that I've heard throughout the years that he's done has been great. And he's worked with some wonderful people. We came up and he worked with me. He's a few years younger. Yes, and he worked with me. He was actually probably about 15 or 16 then, wasn't he, at that time?
Actually, I was 14, if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, I can hear you.
14 years old when we first started working.
Okay. All right, now I'm going to introduce my great guest, and we're going to get on with the show, but after that, we're going to go to a commercial break. But we have Wilfred Ninja Freelix, a great, great musician. And you're going to love this guy. So, Denise, take us to commercial, and then when we get back, we'll be talking with a great musician, one of the best in the world.
Okay, we're going to take it to commercial, and we are going to have the first song, the chat reel, Funkin' for Jamaica. You are listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel.
When the question it is asked to the
Hello and Shalom, chat reelers. This is Dr. Denise Bocades, metaphysician, philosopher, and psychotherapist. I am one of the hosts of the chat reel with Billy and friends. I'm also the host of the Black Jewish Queen live chat. I am here to announce another good friend of Billy Tappan and friends, the writer of The Matrix and Terminator, the original Oracle herself, sci-fi writer, Oscar and award-winning Sophia Stewart. Did you know that Sophia Stewart has a lineup of fantastic books available, especially for those who love and enjoy her written work of The Matrix and the Terminator movies? If you love these movies, you will love her books. Her latest book is quite exciting for those who love The Matrix. It is called The Evolution of Conscious, Matrix 4. That is The Evolution of Conscious, Matrix 4. In this book, Sophia Stewart talks about cracking the genetic code. This is a must read for those who love The Matrix and The Terminator. I am happy to announce this book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble bookstores. It is also a recommended book on Goodreads, along with her other best-selling five-star books. Number one, The Third Eye. Number two, The Mother of the Matrix. Number three, Matrix Trivia, all written by Sophia Stewart. These books are popular, and they are selling fast. Order your copy today. Don't forget, Sophia Stewart's books are available on Amazon, sold at your local Barnes & Noble bookstores. You can even purchase her book on Goodreads. You can also visit her webpage at thetruthaboutmatrix.com. That is thetruthaboutmatrix.com. Order yours before supply runs out. The choice is yours, the blue pill or the red pill. Chat with you soon, real people. Bye-bye.
Man, I'm trying to spin you around.
Introducing okay. Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and Friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
Okay, we're back, everybody. To everybody that actually is coming on to listen to the show, we have a great, great guest and a great, great brother and friend. That was a wonderful track. And I want to kind of expound on some of the work you've done throughout the years. But this track here in particular is
it's a victim
great.
Of love. It's awesome. This
yeah.
is an awesome piece. Wow.
Thank you. How'd you come up with it?
Well, it's kind of derived from when me and my wife got together and just some of the emotion that went in musically. It kind of transpires because it was just the way I was feeling how we got together, and it got intense. It started off as a conversation the same way you hear the music progress from the melodic structure. So it's like you're following some kind of a chorus or some wording. But anyway, then it blossoms into something totally different. Then it goes from there. And every time I write something, I try to revisit that place, but it's hard. So I come, from an original place most of the time. But I always try to make songs about real life situations. But that one was truly inspired about the wife, and that was like from a long time ago, back like in the 80s. So I had a whole lot of time
well,
to do
nice
on that.
Wow.
That
I
is
mean,
impressive.
You put
wow.
Everything.
I mean, everybody like that. Yeah, that's a winner. That's a winner.
That is like making a Christmas meal, my brother. You know what I'm saying? You put your foot in that. So I just think, throughout the years, the things that you've done, because you've left our town, Grand Rapids, how many years ago? I think you left before I did. What year did you move to where you're at now?
I moved up here in 83, I believe it was 83. Yep, 83.
Oh, man, I was already gone.
But I actually had left before that and came back home because Mom got sick, if you remember. And then we made some connections with some people that was out in California. As a matter of fact, I was on my way back from Los Angeles and met a lady. And I was on my way to New York to meet with the rest of the group, and we all end up meeting two other people that it all transpired into a record deal with Suntown Records with Ed Merriweather. So it was a whole lot of it's way too much to just try to squeeze it into a quick conversation, but I can give you some main points so you know exactly what was going on. But
okay,
I was
time.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I was actually very lucky because when I was out there, that was the group when we went out there with Clarence. And remember, they got the group called Dateline with Eddie and all that. They had got signed. I can't remember who exactly it was. I know, but anyway, it was Ray Thompson and all those guys from Grand Rapids. Anyway, we went out there with Bobby and they had supposedly, which is just Bobby DeBarge, to
right.
get us a record deal with somebody which was on the Motown label. But that didn't transpire, so some of the members started jumping ship. And so we started making sure that we could sustain ourselves out there. So it would be like, man, trying to make sure that you can get in a situation musically out there at that time was crazy because there were so many bands and people actually following the musical careers or just trying to make it. So, I got
wow.
lucky enough to be in the mix with some people that would help me out just to actually catapult my career, and that was on the whim coming back home. And so once that happened, I got into a group called Kid Blast and the Task Force. And we were, they was out of Flint, Michigan. And when Katrina Wright, she was our manager, and a booking agent all at the same time. She was all over the place with everybody, so she knew the business, and she started working the record companies for the stuff that we had. My goodness, we was brushing elbows with everybody. I was actually dibbling, dabbling with Ready for the World even way back then. So Gordon was always a good mentor for me, even to this day. He actually got me into a situation that I tour with Ready and Ready for the World now as we speak. But I'm going to go back to it won't be before I got the thought, making sure that we was going to be able to put together a good band, and that was this lady Katrina, who I was talking about when I met her, and with the situation with Ed Merriweather. We end up signing with him and with the group of Kid Blast the Task Force. We came up with this tune called Golden, and that was with three pieces of the group, because the group was quite large. We started scaling down and started making maneuvers so that it would be advantageous to us, but all the group was still with us once we hit the road. But that's how that went down. And then I got in touch with some other people that when I was down there, I'm going to try to make sure that this correlates, because when we was in Florida, I came back to Flint, and then I met with Smooth. This guy named Smooth. Anyway, Smooth makes Benjamin Howe. That's his name. They call him Smooth.
Right.
Anyway, we end up
right.
getting together, making a deal so that we could write some more music for Silk. And this was back in like 99. So I'm skipping a whole lot of stuff because there's so much to fill in the blanks. But I'm just trying to give you the broad picture so you can see where I came from as far as the writing and everything. I had been writing for an immense number of people before that. But
right.
So it was a really great situation for me to actually get all down there with the Silk situation. I end up inking a platinum song on Silk's tune, which is called I Wonder. And I got my platinum album for that. Then a whole bunch of stuff we did work for. I did work for Usher, which was all documented through, goodness gracious, what is my man name? I see his face plain as day. It's been a while, but anyway, this was at LaFace Records, and this guy, he took me out. I knew I should have wrote that down. But anyway, LaFace Records, and he had got me into a situation where I could start writing for Usher, doing demos and promo stuff. Anyway, me and Dallas Austin ended up writing the same tune, which was the one, it's 7 o'clock. And anyway, he actually got the deal. He got the deal with the record, but they actually really, really enjoyed the version that I made, and it almost grabbed a hold, but I just didn't know how to play the game at that time, if you don't understand what I'm saying. So, but anyway, I kept going around. After that, then I started writing for myself. We started doing, which is me and Steve, which is the guy who Kid Blast. We started kind of branching out, writing for a little bit of everybody. Got in touch with a guy named Terrence Winters. Terrence Winters was hooked up with Charlie of the Gap Band, so we started actually dabbling with him. Then stuff was going so fast, we started moving along. And I think that's when I branched off by myself and started doing a lot of the stuff, studio all that time. And I started cultivating and learning how to be an engineer. And there's three instrumental engineers that was in my life that really taught me how to engineer and listen and learn how to make music. But I'm going to get back one more time to give you a quick synopsis of how I got to where I was at. I was a young guy, used to deliver papers. I met this interior decorator. He was on my paper route. Anyway, he had all these guitars, and he could play his butt off. Anyway, he took me on this wing, started teaching me, and then from there, there was a situation where I started getting a little bit better. And there was a guy named Mr. Tommy McGee. He was, I believe, the leader of the TMGs. You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Tell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
me and his partners now.
He actually took me to the studio with him for the first time and started grooming me that way so that I could become understanding how to write music. And he took me to this place called River City. I'll never forget it. And up in there at that time, I think it was Al Green was in there. And I'll never forget that because he was in there
right.
cutting some tracks. Then to go past that, fast forward, I started getting in a bunch of different groups because I could play. We had a guy named Mr. Gene Rucker. He was like my dad. And I had a young, I had,
no,
I had,
yeah.
I'm skipping around because you got to hear this part though. I was maybe 15 okay. or 16, 14, 15 or 16. We had a bar gig. It was called the White Rabbit, and we was like the house band. You remember that, Billy?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. Now we was underage. We weren't supposed to be playing in there, but we had got the gig. And Gene was the manager, so he got us groomed. So we got started being able to be groomed as far as live musicians. All that went on for a while. Then I started branching out. From there, I started joining different groups out of different cities. I joined the first group in Grand Rapids called, I'm going to go back. Rainbow Funk. That was the one with Peanut, which was Gene was our manager. Then
okay.
I joined the group.
Okay.
I was in this one group called Youngblood for about maybe a week. And then this guy named Ray Townsend cracked my egg. You know how there's always somebody, a great or a better guitar player. He actually groomed me to be like I am because I wanted to be able to play and get in a band so bad. He just gave me the fuel for the fire. Then everybody else seemed to just kind of grab a hold to me and wanted to cultivate my skills. And you're talking about every guitar player in the city. I could name names, and it's going to take too long. Anyway, now I'm going to go fast forward way back to the day almost. I had been writing. We was writing music like for Travis Knuckles. That's the guy that was at LaFace Records, and he was getting me all the connects that I needed to be able to write for different artists on LaFace Records. So that was his name, Travis Knuckles. I'm trying to make sure I remember
okay.
all that stuff. Yeah. So, but anyway, long story short, that transpired into the Usher and Silk deal, which was Smooth Mix Records. Then to that episode went through, I started writing pretty much on, oh my goodness, I'm trying to remember some of these other artists. I started doing a lot of freelance stuff at that time. And I was in studios. Father MC would take me around to the studios and have me play for different artists so I would get paid. That was wonderful. And get to meet all the top-tier musicians and plus get to play on this stuff. Okay, fast forward again. About 2000, when we did the stuff for Silk, that's when everything really started blowing up. After that, I got in, come back home, and I started, I believe, my first solo project. That was called the Freelance Project. And I had a couple other producers with me. They was executive producers, really. They didn't do any of the music. But Brian Fletcher, he was actually vice president of Citizens Bank, and he kind of took interest in me. And there was another man, I can't remember his name. Too many people to remember over almost 50 years, so it's kind of hard to keep the eggs from getting scrambled. But I'm going to do my best so that it won't sound mixed up or jumbled. And hopefully y'all can understand me pretty clear if this I'm jumping back and forth too much. I'm trying to now stay on the straight and narrow. But anyway, this is how and where I'm at today. I put out, as far as my albums, I've did three different albums and about four or five different singles. I've done stuff recently with Ready for the World, which is the lead singer, and this is on my label. There was a song that me and him wrote, which is Melvin Riley, called Play On. We'll talk about that next week because I'm get you the material. You guys happen to have a mishap, but anyway. I did some work with Rhonda Clark. I just played on her recent album or two singles.
Really?
A single?
Really?
Yeah, that's me on the guitar.
Rhonda Clark.
Yeah.
Rhonda Clark. I met her through her attorney, which was a music producer here in Lansing. He actually played with the Woolies, which was an old 60s act. And I met Rhonda back years back. And then also Melvin, I met him when I was recording at Bernard Terry's. And they were actually had a session. I had the first session, and they had the second session. And I had Tim Cunningham playing on my stuff back then. And they actually did. They heard Tim. And they called me and said, "Hey, man, you think he'll play on our stuff?" I said, "Yeah." But at this point in time, that situation, that's when Ready for the World was all together. But they presented that album, to the label, they cut all the meat off in it. I mean, they just took and went with Melvin. You know what I'm saying? So that's the story I got. So I don't know what happened.
I stay out of everybody's business but my own, as you know. I got too much of my own deal with somebody else. But what I was going to say is because of a lot of situations when you're dealing with multiple artists, you know, you're going to hear a whole lot of everything. I take everything face value. I get it from the source. Yep. And also, I was going to mention my ace in the hole, which is Rajane. They call her Rajane. And that's where I got my most current stuff out with right now. And our story is very crazy. It goes back to a man named Keith Gilchrist. He owns the worldwide – I'm trying to make sure I get this right because I know he's going to kill me if I did that. And it sure moved on me too. So there we go. He's the owner of Jazzman Music Marketing and Promotions Worldwide. And he's also my manager and booking agent. He's actually put together me, Rajane, and another guy named John Morris. And we were supposed to start a tour, but we came up with this tune, this first tune, all of us together. And we cracked it on Rajane. And Rajane's stuff just took off, and she just saw fit and well enough for me to help her write a whole lot of stuff. She entrusted me a lot with a lot of the music, what she does, because she's phenomenal, man. If you just listen to her voice, and this is Rajane on Jarp Music. Her album is called Rajane, the Sovereign of 14742. And, man, it's a piece. We just did a video she just orchestrated and directed and put together. The lady's a mastermind. Not to too much elaborate on her, but I'm still a derivative of what she do. So me and her, we work together now. So it's like the Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis duo. Everything she do, I try to get her in to help me because she just got that gold finger. And so, you know, you got to be very careful of the alliances you make. And when the ones that you do put together, if they good, I would say make sure you cultivate them. So that's what we actually, where we're at now. And I'm thankful to all the stuff and everything that they put me in place to be able to do. I'm working on my own album now to finish up. I got about like 12, 13 tunes, but I'm still writing more stuff. Some of the stuff just don't make the cut. You know, it all sounds good to you, but you got to taste this. Right. I got to run all this stuff by you guys. So y'all, But then we can pick and choose. But I actually been very fortunate. I've been playing guitar and I play everything else. That's what a lot of people don't realize, that I play every instrument almost. And I play live instruments. I don't program very much. So, and I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of different people. I'm going to name some names real quick, just a few, so that you we get an idea of some of these people. They're all indie artists. Gary Smoot, Audley Reed, Rajane, she's an indie artist too. I'm in line to work with Carmen Bruner, Cindy Bradley. I'm trying to make sure I got it's about two more that I'm trying to make sure that I want to say their name. I want to work with Lynn Roundtree, but anyway, those are a few of the people that I might have access to actually. You'll see something very soon. So that's where I'm at with that. So if you got any other questions you want to squeeze at me, I'm all ears.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to Hold Your Thought. Let's go to a commercial break, and we'll come back and we'll pick up and I'll see what Denise wants to ask you, and then we'll kind of take it from there. So let's go to a commercial break.
And we are going to a commercial break momentarily. And everyone, you are listening to The Chat Reel. And thank you for joining us. And we will be right back after the station identification and the commercial break.
Get up, stand up, oh, hey. Stand up.
are listening to CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show, the Chat Reel, where you get live real chat and the topics are Chat Reel.
From author Dr. Denise Gotatis comes a self-help guide that will give you valuable information about the world around you in ways never imagined. The Metaphysical God in Relation to His Creation, available on Amazon. In this must-read book, you will learn about your importance in the world and the metaphysical universe around you. You will be introduced to the Metaphysical God who has a relationship with you and those around you. Whether you are aware of this or not, you come into contact with Him daily. He is omnipresent metaphysically. He is in and outside of His creation. And what does a metaphysical God have to do with you and the creation around you? You are a very big piece of a huge puzzle. The Metaphysical God in Relation to His Creator, from author Dr. Denise Gotatis, is available on Amazon. Order your copy right now.
Nobody knows, but everybody fighting to reach the top. Live there, live
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
And we are live with, I believe, Billy Tappin. Billy there. Our guest is here, right, Mr. Wolfert?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah. Well, he will be back, I am pretty sure.
Yeah.
My question to you was, what was the most difficult thing in the industry that you had to deal with? I was just curious of that because it seemed like you had an extensive career and you had a great career, sounds like, you know, working with Usher. And so, you know, I kind of was wondering, what is it that was your biggest challenge in the music business?
Well, I would say it was this, because if you don't really understand politics in your material to stick and things
yeah.
of that nature, but to say it like that, you can blow a whole lot of chances, opportunities, and actually your music can get stolen from you, because if you don't really understand how to protect yourself before you're going in, you know, normally now everything's already copywritten and my production credits are already split before I present anything to anybody. So it's a life lesson that you learn, because people can make derivatives of anything you got. Say if you come up with a great idea, they can make something that's close to it and steal your idea.
Yeah.
Same thing, you know, that thing.
Yeah. Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
You're absolutely right, Will. I'm going through a procedure right now that is happening, but I'm on top of it, so it's not an issue. But let's get back to Denise. Was there anything else you want to ask, Will?
The main thing was I wanted to see what his most challenging things was, because he had answered that he was just saying basically be careful, and you could ruin your career for yourself if you are not careful when you are in the industry, you know.
Oh, no doubt.
Basically.
No doubt.
Yeah, because
yeah.
it's all kinds of things, you know, happening in the music industry this day and age, and things that I never thought I would see. And, you know, I just wanted to get Wilford's, you know, take on the things he's experienced. I know that, you know, with him too, it's like, you know, you say the wrong thing, you use the wrong words, don't
want
to deal or work with you. Yeah, they don't want to deal or work with you. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, if you slander anybody or their talent or just things that degrade somebody, their culture or what it is they like, you know, everybody got the right to be who and what they want to be. And, you know, with music, it's supposed to be a free-for-all, but it's not. You have to be so careful with even the way you present your music, with your album covers, who it's presented to, and, you know, I'm so careful not to offend anybody. So that's one thing I've learned over the years, and I've got people around me with tutelage all the time telling me, keep your mouth shut, you know. So I've learned, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
In order to
have
your career.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
or
what?
For anything, anytime you get into the public eye, you know, you got to really watch what you say, because anything you can say will be used against you.
Oh, yeah.
It's gotten to that
point. Yeah.
It's gotten to that point.
It is.
And it's absolutely ridiculous. But, I mean, in terms of the music business, entertainment in general, it's got a scope on it now. You know what I'm saying? So you can't, you know, I mean, we the people have to stand up and protect our speech, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the most important thing. That's all we really have.
Yep.
So back to you, Will. I should say Ninja. Back to you, Nia.
Yes.
So I know that you work with quite a few people, and I'm aware of a lot of the work you've done. I know we did, both of us did, you did a lot of time at Bernard Carey's studio. I've did a few sessions in there throughout the years. So I know that you learned probably a lot from Bernard, because he's absolutely a genius. So, and I have nothing, I have nothing bad to say about that guy at all. As a matter of fact, I have nothing bad to say about anybody. But, you know, in terms of engineering and stuff like that, there's actually a couple people that I would deal with, and that would be Bernard Carey and the belated, rest in peace, Bernard Wright. You know,
okay.
I mean, those are engineers that I would feel comfortable with. And perhaps you, since you got your own stuff, and I've heard your production, so, you know, definitely.
Yeah,
so
tutelage
was,
I was going to say, the tutelage was definitely a great thing that I've learned from Bernard. He was actually the most influential, because I spent the most time in years around him. So I started with him when I was like 17, so that's 77, all the way up until like a year ago when he passed. And I was actually finishing up Roger Hayes' song the day that he passed. And man, that was tragic. We was right in the middle of mixing, and I had to go elsewhere to get some of the stuff done, finished, because, you know.
When he passed?
It was like a nightmare, because it's hard to find somebody that can mix or sing like a Rajane or yourself or whatever it is that you do to the expertise that you do it at that level. So it's like, you know, especially if you've become so accustomed to going one place over the years. So, but Mike Gray was another engineer out of the Sound Suite that was an engineer that was teaching me a whole lot. And man, you talking about, just around some of the best of the best. And
so when did Bernard pass? I didn't even know.
Bernard passed, I believe, let me take a quick look and I can tell you 100% for sure. I know it was last year, but I'm going to give you a date to within a week, and then you'll be able to know for sure. Anyway,
okay.
I guess he had congestive heart failure after he rescued a girl. A baby, and revived the baby after a lady got into a fatal crash, and he pulled the baby out of the car. And with that being said, it must have just rattled him to pieces, and he had a heart attack after that. And so,
oh man,
everybody was just crushed on that one. So we lost a pillar to the community, and actually to the world, because he had worked with everybody. I mean, everybody.
So everybody. Yes.
Yeah. I think everybody.
And rest in peace. Rest in peace, Bernard.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Wow.
But
wow.
But yes, you know, me going through my issues and stuff like that back and forth, that's probably why I missed everything, you know. I had a transplant. Of course, you know, heart transplant. So, but, you know, we're good. But let's get back. Let's get back to where we were at. Now, the engineering part of it is that you had started getting lessons pretty much from the studio out of, what is it, out of Detroit?
That was Studio A. It was Studio A and the Sound Suite also. I was working at some place. I worked with R.J. Rice for a while, and he was giving me tutelage,
R.J.
I was fortunate enough with Mike Grace that he was actually really, really hands-on with me, because he took an interest in my writing. My writing was what really caught a lot of people's attention, because I could really write very well. So, but anyway, I think Bernard died about May the 15th, or that's what it was. It had to be a week before this, because I'm looking at some of the pictures now at the funeral. But anyway, as far as tutelage, he actually sat me down and taught me pretty much just how to listen. And that's the main thing about when you're have to learn how to understand music and what it does and what it's doing, learning frequencies, understanding speaker flip. I mean, just so many little things, learning the ranges of basically what a speaker is capable of. This ain't got nothing to do with the sound itself. This has got something to do with what the speaker is being able to reproduce as far as the sound heard. So it's so many different things that you have to understand to be able to almost say conquer those speed bumps, which we call bloops in the speaker or the mix, that you can have all these different things that will mess your mix up over the radio. So, but yeah, I've been very fortunate.
So let me ask you this, in terms of the, like they have like, 429, in what they're recording with, what they're concerning, what they're trying to, in terms of the sound, you know, what they record under. I'm trying to think, 529 or 429.
You're talking about the resolution?
Megahertz.
Oh, no.
You following me?
You're talking about if they really trying to get a certain sound, you can start it. 20, and all the way up to 20 kilohertz.
Right.
And that's also just the full spectrum of sound. Now, I didn't know if you was talking about resolution, because you normally would start at like 44 or all the way up to, man, I think they go all the way up to like 160 or something like that now, or 96. Anyway, that's very, very high resolution that is very fast, and you have to have really good recorders or reproduction units to be able to give you that sound, to actually give you the actual clarity that they will come back at you. But, you know, with that being said, most people now, they end up around 48K, and, you know, and that's pretty much the going rate now. They don't even pretty much use 44 no more, because everybody has update game to get your clarity up. So, you know, with that being said, I know I pretty much don't even do anything under 48. If somebody will send me something at 44, I will buffer it up so that I'm trying to get them on the right playing field. So,
okay. Let's go back to Tommy McGee, because I've worked with him on, because he used to manage me actually back in the day. The guy is just phenomenal. He's phenomenal. I mean, it's like he was very, very – when I met Tommy, I knew of him, of course, because of, he had the band, the TMG. But they were the hottest back in the day. I would say they were number one. You had Family Brown. You had you guys. You had when you had Sherry and Ray Townsend. You know what I'm saying? You guys are hot.
Yeah.
You know. So we have I understand we have a museum downtown Grand Rapids somewhere where we're all in it. You know, people that were hot back in the day that were actually legends for that point in time. So there's a lot of talent. But tell me your experiences with Tommy and you know, just because I had great experience with him. I still work with him today. You know, we're doing projects, you know, as of now, we're doing a lot of different projects. But tell me your experience and how you guys came together.
Well, actually, I was just playing out in the street. He would come past every day on his way to the studio, and he would see me, and I would always ask him, because, you know, Tommy always had that briefcase, always.
Always.
And when he saw me, and I would always ask him, what's in the briefcase? He'd talk about, and he said, he would tell me, why don't you just come with me and you'll find out. So anyway, he asked my mom, can he take me to the studio with him? So that was the beginning of the end. I promise you it was. So he started taking me to the studio every other day that he would come past. So I would go to the studio with him. What he started me on was understanding how to track. So he would come in and he would have stuff already laid down, and he would start mixing just sections of it. And I didn't know even a whim on how to record or what was going on. So he would tell me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I actually start understanding about microphones, the booths, placement, all that stuff. He would tell the guys, some of the engineers, I can't remember their names at River City because that had been so long ago, but he would actually instruct him and tell him how to set it up to get the sound that he was looking for. And I'd be sitting there, and I'm just listening and looking. You know, we talking about weeks on end. And at the point when he started getting the closer to the final parts of the mix, that's where the magic has started beginning. I started really getting interested in, because you start putting songs and music together, so it's making sense. Now you see the beauty of the tracking. And so
exactly.
It's just like, now to this day, I think that's my best attribute. I know how to track like uncanny. And I almost mix a song now without using anything, no EQs or anything. You just got to understand how to place the microphone when you're recording. That's the whole catch to capturing capture the act of whatever they're doing. It's the actual presentation of how that person is singing, or the playing, or the guitar, the type of microphone, how close it is to the amp, or how far. Using two mics at a time so you could double up of the same unit, or the vocalist, you know, in two different positions. So now you're getting multi-tracks with the same thing. It's going to match up, but you got two different mics, which is going to give you different personalities and impedances and everything. So it's a whole lot to recording. And if you really don't understand what you're trying to, your end product you're looking for, you got to understand how to start. To even understand,
I've been around it.
What
so,
it is, right. So let's understand what you're even doing.
So let's do this. Let's do a commercial break, and we'll open the lines up for anybody that wishes to talk with Ninja Freelix, Wilfred Ninja Freelix. So let's get to the commercial, and we'll be back.
Okay.
All right.
We will be back. Okay. givebackjamaica@gmail.com.
Crying, one love. Hear the children crying. One
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
We're back. We are back. Sorry for the any technical, positive technical issues that we've been having, but we're cleaning everything up. But the lines are open for anybody that wishes to call in to talk with Ninja. I personally have had the opportunity to be a part of this guy's life, you know. I mean, he has amazing talent. And for people that are just coming on, we're interviewing Wilfred Ninja Freelix. And he is an artist. He's from out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's a very, very, very close friend. He's a brother. We all come up together through the music business, and we are still connected to this day. But he's an amazing talent. His music is just something that is very, very special. And I would like for people to actually listen to some of his stuff. We've had so many things happen today that we are going to actually bring him back. But let's just go ahead and just go finish and go through. So any callers, you're welcome to call in and speak with Will. So let's get back, Will.
Any caller, this is a song. This is what you're going to hear. We do have people in, but, yeah, lines are open.
Okay.
Ask your question.
Okay.
Let's
Let's get them in and see what they want to talk about with Will.
Anyone?
So let's, okay, let's go ahead and let's talk. And Will, we were talking about Tommy. Am I correct? We were talking about Tommy and some of the things that was taught. Oh, we were talking actually about the frequencies. The frequencies, that's
anyway,
what we were talking about.
Being able to understand frequencies and what you want to do with sound, you have to have, I'm going to say, a knowledge of what the sound range and how it calibrates into different registers, high, mids, and lows, you know, low, mids,
right.
High, mids, and ultra highs and sub lows, and those frequencies break down in like quarters of like from 20 all the way up to 40, from 40 all the way up to about 65, then from 65 to 100, and then from 100 up to about 300 or 250, from 250 all the way up to 650, 650 to about 1K, 1K to 2 and 3K, then you could go on up from there. From 1 to 3K all the way to maybe like 6 or 7, then you can start getting into your silk highs, which is from about 8 and 9 all the way to 20. Those will give you all of your ultra highs. What people would think is that is the spectrum of the sound that you're listening to, but everybody on records, they don't really understand how it's put together, because some things are compressed, then some things are just left totally alone. That way, it gives you a presence of being able to have ambient sound. Like it's jumping off the speaker. Then there's polarities. Then there's images or reversals of, oh my God, all kinds of different things in imagery. So it just goes on and on and on. I could get into it very extensive, but I ain't trying to waste your time in being theoretic about it. But what I will say, in and out of phase will definitely take you and make you hear stuff. It either the way you like it in your ear, or a little bit buffered away from the sound that you can digest it. You know, it just depends on which instruments you want to do, put in and out of phase. It's a lot that goes into that. You know, Bernard and Mike Grace, they do that. Plus, I've written for a lot of vocalists, like with the Silk deal. They actually taught me how to record vocals the very best, because there's so many. You got people that can sing so well. That, you know, it's hard to correct somebody that can sing well, but when you know it's sharp and flat, that's not a problem. And I didn't have that issue, because they trusted me to actually being able to tell them as singers what's right.
I'm glad, because I was really scared.
That was a great attribute.
You got to call us. Caller, go ahead.
Your name was on there.
Yeah. From 616, caller.
Hello.
Okay. Go ahead. You got something you want to ask, Ninja? Hello?
Yes, I'm here. What do you want, sir?
Okay.
I'm with you.
No, I know you're here with me, Ninja. I'm talking about the 616 caller.
No, I don't hear the speaker. That's what I'm trying to get.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. All right, let's go ahead, continue. Any callers, lines are open. Feel free to call. And Ninja, let's discuss touring. You there, Ninja?
Yeah, I barely can hear him though. He's got to come up.
Okay, got to take and come up, come off maybe the speaker and go directly to the phone. Okay, go ahead. You there, sir? Okay, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about the touring, Will. I did some touring years back. Where are some of the places that you have actually toured at?
Yes, I'm here. Oh, well, we started, okay, first of all, I did the whole hometown thing. We start Detroit, end up in Atlanta. We've done Ohio. We've done Texas. We've done San Diego, California. We've done L.A. We've done Vegas. We've done we've done Atlanta. We've done Atlanta multiple times. Goodness gracious, where else? I'm trying to think of some of the smaller places. Oh, we just got through doing Little Rock. Okay, that's where I was trying to think of that. And every place has its own little flavor of hometown acceptance and the way the crowds greet you. You know, some are just buck, and then some are more laid back to just to listen and enjoy, because it is what it is, so I guess.
Right, yeah. Right. So I know that I have an opportunity to actually do some casinos. I'm considering it. I'm really considering it. So casinos are a good spot, actually, if you're on the rise. You know, if you're just trying to get out there. You know, I did stuff like that back years ago, but in terms of somebody that has a name, you know, casinos are good for it also. You know, then the smaller room that is for, you know, upcoming musicians to try to reach the bigger stage. So, you know, it's a good format if people can get in there. If musicians can actually get in there, it's a great format. You know?
Yeah.
I remember when I used to stay up north, I used to go to the Holiday Inn. They had, I can't think of the name of the act, but they were booked there like always. I mean, it was certain days. I think they're booked like Friday and Saturday. And they made tremendous, tremendous money. And I used to go there and see them all the time because I was staying in Mount Pleasant at that time. So I'd go there, you know, for entertainment. So, yeah. So,
I can't remember the name of Babyface's group, but I used to also go up there and see him also. And that was right in Midland. And he was right. I can remember some of the players, but Babyface, before they signed their record deal with the deal, they used to play there all the time. Yes.
You know what? It might have been them, but they were hot. They were really hot. And I would go over there and just sit back and chill and watch them perform, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, we have, you know, like out of Grand Rapids, we have a lot of greats. I mean, we have Bobby and Tommy DeBarge. We have the DeBarges. We have Tommy McGee. We have you, myself, Rodney Trotter, the Family Brown.
Mona Sally.
Mona Sally, rest in peace. And who else do we have? Because I don't want to leave anybody out.
Wooten Major.
Okay.
No, I was just naming some names of some people that was really good that was coming up before they untimely passing. Yes, that thing.
Right. I mean, I think that with the stock that we had there, the talent we had there was just overlooked by a many.
That's true.
You know, because of the type of town we lived in. You know, Dutch Christian town, you know, some opportunities. If you're going for the opportunity, you got to actually leave Grand Rapids. It might be a lot different now, but, you know, back then you had to leave and go someplace else to try to get launched off. And it's quite.
Yeah, you know, Billy, me and your mom, we used to listen to Gwen Clark, and then there was Marvin Sapp there.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean. Did you?
Yeah, we talking about Marvin was a young kid then. He was a young kid then.
That's right. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, it was wow. A lot of years back.
I mean, it's just so much. Jeffrey Daniels. You know, I mean, all this talent that was just unbelievable. I mean, they could match up with anybody. From they could go to Vegas back in them days. They could have went to Atlanta and been able to match up with anybody down there because
anybody
they were just that good. That good. Oh, you had the Patterns. Can't forget them. And what's the one that's still rocking to this day? I can't think of the name of them, but they do that club out there on 54th Street. You remember that club?
Carlo Connection.
Yep. And they still have been rocking all these years.
Now, this is, you know, I'm going to tell you, they are the derivative of the group that we were in, which was Electric Sound of Soul, and also Pizzazz, if you remember those people.
I remember them. Yep.
Now, that's the group that I was with before I left Grand Rapids, and I ended up in Muskegon for a while with Mellow Decisions and Dreadnought.
I know them. Yeah, I remember
that. That was when Lime Dairy Hughes, we almost got signed to MCA with Irene Perkins, and then that's when everything started branching up. I got so many different avenues that I could start talking about, just like what you're talking about all these people. We talk about different concerts and people that I was in groups with. That it just goes on and on and on. But far as having a situation where you could just nail it down and say one thing, my career never ended up that way. It always ended up with me being able to be put in situations, and God put me in those situations so that I would be able to be used and I could spread some of my talent or help somebody to miss bad situations. Let's say it just like that, to miss bad situations and tell them how to maneuver around, because I've been an independent now since, I'm going to say 2000, and that's a lot of years, but I've touched a lot of people and came in touch and been able to influence people in a way to think so that they could better themselves. And then we got like radio hosts that have broke my records, Eugene Brown and also Will McNeil and all these people. They're radio hosts. They took me under the wing and actually taught me how to not or to do a certain thing to enhance your career. So it's a whole lot. And then also with Keith Hillcraft being my manager, plus he's a radio host that's so jazzy, he the one put together a whole lot of the things that have happened to me within the last 4 years with me and Roger Nate. I'm so grateful to be in line to be a recipient of the process that they put me in to get to where I am today. And also I want to give a quick shout saying, if you really want to hear what I do, I'm going to give you my website. It's called WilfredFrelick.com, www.WilfredFrelick.com. You can get my merchandise. You can see everything that I've ever done. You can get it. You can buy it in its entirety, albums or single pieces at a time. So, you know, I'm not trying to cherry pick your money or anything. You can listen for free. So, but if you like it, you can purchase. But I was saying that in accordance to having somebody being able to set yourself up so that you can let people hear what you do without trying to say you got to buy it all the time. You know, otherwise, if you don't have a platform to set yourself up, you have to build your own platform and your brand. Now, they've been helping me with my brand for the last 4 years, and it's finally cracking. And I have to really say that I'm so thankful to be in alliance with these people, because I wouldn't be where I'm at right now without a team. And that team is super important. So if anybody tell you can get there all by yourself, they did wrong, and don't believe that they did it all by themselves, because that's totally.
Thank you.
That's fabricated.
It's a procedure. It's a procedure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like when you have need an operation, and it's serious. It's not one person doing it. You know,
Absolutely.
It's a team, and that's what it's got to be. And I just, you know, I mean, from what I believe in independency in music now more so than I did back in the day when I was trying to search for labels and stuff like that, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, I had deals that I turned down, you know what I'm saying? But it's just that I'm probably fortunate I did. So, you know, now look what I'm doing. I'm doing a little bit of everything. So I was wondering now, because we had something in common and didn't even know it other than just being family. But we had something in common with Byron Longmire. Have you seen him?
Matter of fact, we talked 2 days ago. He had congratulated me on one of the tunes that me and Rasha did, which is I actually produced some of her tunes on her album. But anyway, it's called One Less Bell to Answer. Anyway, he chimed in and was saying that he really enjoyed the music and the video. So if you want to see that, you can go to Rasha Bay 112, at least 1212 right on YouTube, and it will take you right straight to the One Less Bell to Answer. And you'll see some of my production of music, and that's her production of video and her directing of the video itself, and all the bells and whistles, everything you see is her brainchild. So with that being said, back to Byron. He congratulated us, and me and him, we talked. You know, he has a label, too. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I'm seeing it, but it won't come to mind. And I hate to
yeah,
each other.
He does.
Yeah.
I was talking to him on a regular basis a couple years back. And, you know, the connection was that he was in my band. Oh, that's actually their band. I just hired them to take and do because I was doing Johnny Taylor.
Yeah.
I was opening
he
up for him.
He was with you first. Yes, he was with you
first. And I never knew that you guys knew each other. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if I'd have knew that, man, I'm like, that'd have been awesome. But that's okay. So it's like, it's all good. But I am so proud of you as where you have came from the city that we've come from to where you're at now. And when the weather gets a lot better, you know, I'm going to get your way. I know I've been saying it, but I've been like doing a little bit of everything. Plus, you know, I was down for 3 weeks. But I want to get that away and we can kind of kick it, you know.
Absolutely.
And see what you're looking good. Because I'm still working on the project we discussed. And just now, I mean, I've got pretty much the players that I want to use. It's
right.
Just now working on some financial things. So once that comes together, then we can start working. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, I want to have you on some tracks from you, and then we'll work. So
yes, we will. Yes,
let's go
we will.
Let's go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss more of your life, you know, and if you want to, whatever you want to talk about, we're open, you know what I'm saying? So let's go commercial break, and then we'll come back. How about
that? All right.
All right. Take us to commercial.
Thank you.
the Caribbean Radio Show, The Chat Reel, where you get live real chat and the topics are chat real.
Heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is real.
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
We are here and we're back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. In case you have missed out on this great, great interview, you missed something here, but you can always go back in. And we have a rerun of everything we do. You can always go back and listen and catch up on what you may have missed. Now back to Ninja Wilfred Freelix. We'll want to take and finish up the interview. Is there anything that you want to talk about?
Well, I'll just kind of elaborate on a couple things to get me or get you caught up with where I think a person would want to start and how they would want to end up. It's going to take perseverance with trying to even be a musician and an artist and a producer, because I got all this stuff rolled into one. So you got a whole lot of different participles that you have to kind of temper yourself and make yourself be aware and just things you're going to have to go through, get yourself in the headspace to want to do this. And first of all, you got to love this. You're going to have to love this because it's not a business for thin-skinned people. I'll just give a quick synopsis. When I first started playing and I started getting in bands, I wanted to play so bad I used to catch the train to practice. I don't know if you remember that. I used to jump the train and go over to Miss Johnson's and get off right there. And this
right.
for about two years, because you used to bring me home. I know you knew.
Right.
You would take me home. So with that being said, you know, and then you get into situations where you're in situations where the people that you are with, they're 100% against you because they know that you have a certain something special that you have that they would never be able to cultivate, or they don't just have the gifting. And, you know, all that, you know, you got to kind of look past it. They tell me this all the time. Don't worry about the next person. You got to worry about you. Get and let God use you to what he wants you to do. You can't dwell on the negative at all. So keep the positive. And what's meant for you is going to happen. You know, it's been a lot of years I've been doing this, so it's not something
Amen.
That just happened. Right? And you talk about practice, learning to play different instruments. I'm talking about then marriage, the kids, the family. You know, it's a whole lot of pause, and then it's a whole lot of good that goes with it, the ups and downs. But I'm going to say, me, I think it's very gratifying. I wouldn't do it no different than how it has happened to me under any circumstance. I mean, I love where I'm at. I could be further, but I could be further behind. So with that being
right.
said, you know, there's a lot to say that you get some people that they get a record deal or something that they think is the world's fair. First of all, if you haven't really worked, appreciated, no way, and you're not going to really understand what it took to get there. So I'm a definite person to say work is a great ethic that it will season you so that you'll know what you really have. You know, it's just like somebody giving you anything. You won't appreciate it the same way if you had to work 10 years for it. I guarantee it.
Right. Now, I say this all the time to artists in general, and they think that, you know, it's like an easy thing to do. I'm like, it's not an overnight sensation. When you see that, you know, that person's worked hard to get where he's at, you know? So, I mean, you have to work hard to get there, and that's the bottom line. You know, I mean, there are some people that it breaks down to, some people are just in the band. That's what they're going to do for the rest of their life. And some people are people that want to be a worldwide act. You know what I'm saying? I mean, with me, that's what I would pursue, is a worldwide artist, you know, because the band situation, you know, it's a lot of headaches with that. You know, I prefer to put a unit together and pay everybody for practice.
Hello.
That way, no drama, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm paying you to take and come together for
this
show.
It's a service. That's right. You're a service.
And people are quiet when it comes to them getting paid. You know,
yes, sir.
Everybody's to be on time, you know, because we're not having anybody coming here late. We're going to get in here and get out, you know,
just like
and tighten this show up, you know. So that's the thing. It's not an issue where you just do what you want. Well, I'll just come in and rehearse once or twice a week. No, you got something big coming up or anything, whether it's small, you're going to hit it hard and get that rehearsal
in. Let's say it like this. That depends on and how you was groomed with your work ethic from where you came from in the first place. You should be on time. Being on time is late. You should be early to be on time. So my thought is every time that I played with bands or did any kind of engagements with somebody, I'm always at least a half hour to an hour early to understand the layout of the land, so it makes it easier for everybody. I'm already set up, and I know the material to do whatever it is we need to do. And I'm easy to work with because everything and whatever it is, that if you're hiring me for that, that's exactly what I'm going to give you, no more, no less, until you tell me. If you want me to elaborate, then I'll elaborate. But otherwise, I'm going to stick to the script, and that's the best way to deal with, especially if you're working for a client. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I had so many problems throughout the years with bands and stuff like that, and I just came to the conclusion you're just going to have to pay these guys for their rehearsals. You know, that way it cuts out the dumb stuff, you know, because everybody wants to make some money. You know what I'm saying? That's the sad part, you know, but you got to love this situation. You got to love what you do, you know, and it shouldn't be a pay situation for rehearsals, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're taking time away from people's families at some point in time. So I get it. I get it. So it had to come to me like, okay, you put your unit together and then you actually, you know, say, okay, I'm paying you X amount of dollars. You get X amount of dollars. And you have to be on time. When I walk in there, you guys should be hitting when I walk in there. You know, so that's the thing that I prefer to do now more than anything else. So if there's any callers that's on, they can speak with Ninja. But we're coming too close to the close. And I want, Denise, is there anything you want to speak on?
Oh, well, no, I was just listening to you guys and impressed at how Wilford, you know, Ninja, handled himself with his career and everything and how it's going, you know. I didn't want to add anything. I mean, most of the things that he spoke on, he answered a lot of the questions that I had about the industry and about the business. But yeah, you know, I would love it to, if he come back and, you know,
well,
talk more
back. He's gonna come
about
back.
And listen to some more music because yes, we did have technical difficulties today and for a while, you know, the site went down. Blog Talk Radio went down for a little bit today.
Yeah, I'm understanding that. And so I'd be more than happy to come back and, you know, elaborate, bring you some more music and pictures or whatever it is that you need. Most of the time when you are dealing with radio, you can never get in all the questions that you want because as soon as you get off the line, you say,
And this is the thing. We're going to, you know, have everything straightened out. Let's look at next week or the week after. I'll let you know exactly what it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
That way we want to make sure that we have two tracks from you and two from your artists. We'll go ahead and we'll do the same thing. And that way people will be able to catch up on some of the stuff that we discussed. So I would like you to leave your information. If you will, in terms of how they can contact you for work on a professional level and also how they can get your product.
Okay, first I'm going to give you the booking. It's booking contact kgilchrist50 at live.com. That's kgilchrist50 at live. LIVE.com. And my personal website that you can pick up all my music, and if you want to listen, buy, purchase, or merchandising, hoods, hats, mugs, the whole nine. I got everything you could want dealing with Wilford Ninja Freelix. It's at www.wilfredfreelix.com. That's WILFREDFREELIX.com.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Hey, Will.
Awesome.
Awesome. Ninja, we had a great time, and it's going to be better, and I will be in contact with you. So if you want to get me material or get Denise, you got Denise's information? And we can have things ready to go. We have things ready to go. It's just that we had an issue that we were trying to resolve, and we just couldn't get it done. So I know she has some tracks, but let's get things up and running. For that's why I say give us like a week or two, and that we'll have some other things on. But for your situation, I don't think it was really. I think the show was great. I really do. But I want that music out there. So we're gonna come back. So hey, blessings, my brother, and we'll talk.
Thank
okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you
for
coming on.
Nice meeting you. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yep. We'll be speaking to you real soon. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Denise.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
It was awesome. What an awesome program.
It was a very knowledgeable interview. Very knowledgeable. So I was, I knew that he would come out and do his thing. He has been, he's just been phenomenal. You have to excuse me, I'm having speech problems, but.
Oh, no, you're fine. Well, you are phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Yeah,
a great artist.
That's the word I was trying to pull out.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I thank you guys for just even acknowledging me to be able to come on to the show, because there are so many other people that are knowledgeable also.
We got you, man. We got you back. You know. So we're looking
come
for
on
you,
anytime. We enjoyed you.
We're looking to do independent acts, so that has some history. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if you have somebody, Will, that you are backing, we got you, man. All right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. We do.
Let's go.
Share that with you, too.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take us to our outing. Let's take it to the out with our
All right.
beautiful song.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great
Mm-hmm.